Good morning, gamers. Welcome to Morning Martlet, your trusted source for the latest in gaming news. Grab your morning potion and let's level up your day. It appears that Bungie, amid ongoing changes and anxiety within the studio following layoffs last year, is preparing for another shakeup, this time concerning its upcoming service game, Marathon. According to multiple sources familiar with the situation, Bungie is reorganizing its creative leadership on Marathon, which includes the removal of longtime Bungie designer Christopher Barrett from the game director role. Replacing Christopher Barrett as the game director for Marathon is former Valorant game director Joe Ziegler, who joined Bungie from Riot Games in 2022. While Bungie has not yet responded to requests for comment on Barrett's future with the company, Ziegler confirmed his appointment as the new game director for Marathon on Twitter. He expressed his excitement about the project and indicated that more information about the game would be shared as it progresses towards release. When Overwatch 2 Season 10 launches next month, players will have immediate access to its newest hero, Venture, along with all previously released heroes. Blizzard has decided not to introduce Venture through the Battle Pass, opting instead to make them available from the start, streamlining the process for players to access Overwatch 2's content. Season 10 is expected to launch in mid-April, bringing several changes to the game's core gameplay, earning coins, and the introduction of the Mythic Shop. Venture, announced during the Overwatch 2 panel at BlizzCon 2023, is a DPS character known for their ability to burrow underground. They are also celebrated as the game's first non-binary character. With Season 10, Blizzard aims to make unlocking heroes more straightforward, with players needing only to complete the tutorial to unlock the original roster, after which all Overwatch 2 characters, including Venture, will be accessible. In addition to the introduction of Venture, Blizzard is introducing the Mythic Shop, where players can work towards past and current seasonal Mythic Hero skins while progressing through the Premium Battle Pass. This change allows players to customize their progression towards unlocking different variations of Mythic skins, providing more flexibility in how they obtain and customize their cosmetics. Blizzard also plans to implement rank resets, progress tracking, and new rewards in Overwatch 2 Season 10. Additionally, players will be able to earn coins while progressing through the Battle Pass, with Blizzard increasing the number of coins available per season. Furthermore, several maps, including Coliseo, Circuit Royal, Nunbani, and Havana, are slated for revamps in upcoming seasons. The release of Stardew Valley Update 1.6 on PC has ignited a surge in player numbers on Steam, breaking previous records and signaling a significant moment for fans of the beloved farming sim. Developer Eric Concerned Ape Barone launched the long-awaited content drop today, introducing numerous new additions and tweaks after months of anticipation. As of the publication of this story, SteamDB reports that there are over 136,000 players currently logged into Stardew Valley on Steam alone, with the number rapidly climbing. This surpasses the previous record of 94,879 players set in January 2021. Notably, Stardew Valley Update 1.6 is also available on GOG, and Barone has confirmed that the update will soon be coming to Game Pass as well. The lead-up to the launch of Update 1.6 has been marked by heightened anticipation among fans, fueled in part by Barone's strategy of releasing individual lines from the patch notes over the past few weeks. These sneak peeks into the update have ranged from intriguing quality-of-life changes to humorous additions, such as the ability to drink mayonnaise, which may elicit an EU from some players. The full patch notes for Stardew Valley Update 1.6 are filled with a plethora of interesting alterations, further contributing to the excitement surrounding the update and prompting many players to either revisit the game or experience it for the first time. Connie Booth, a former PlayStation executive renowned for her instrumental role in shaping PlayStation's first-party strategy, has joined EA to assume a key leadership position in its studios amidst the company's ongoing restructuring efforts. Booth's new title at EA will be Group General Manager, Action RPG, overseeing a diverse portfolio that includes EA Motive, known for Iron Man, Cliffhanger, handling Black Panther, and BioWare, responsible for Dragon Age and Mass Effect franchises. In a statement, Laura Miele, head of EA Entertainment, expressed excitement about Booth's appointment, highlighting her extensive experience and significant contributions to Sony Interactive Entertainment, SIE, over more than three decades. Booth played a pivotal role in the development of numerous blockbuster franchises, including Marvel Allure, TM, as Spider-Man 1 and 2, The Last of Us, Ghost of Tsushima, Uncharted, and Ratchet and Clank, among others. Miele praised Booth's reputation for fostering a developer-first culture, supporting creative vision, and driving innovation. She emphasized Booth's passion for games and her deep commitment to game developers, underscoring her impeccable reputation within the development community. Miele expressed confidence that Booth's leadership would have a profoundly positive impact on EA's games and the overall development process. The International Game Developers Association, IGDA, has issued a statement expressing deep concern over the increased harassment targeting historically marginalized developers and those advocating for diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI, initiatives within the gaming industry. The statement, released during the Game Developers Conference, GDC, in San Francisco, denounces harassment campaigns reminiscent of those experienced during the Gamergate period in the mid-2010s. The IGDA emphasizes that harassment has no place in games or the games industry and underscores the importance of creating a safe, welcoming, and equitable environment for everyone involved. Although the IGDA did not explicitly mention it, the statement appears to address the ongoing harassment directed at Sweet Baby Inc., a narrative development and consultation studio based in Montreal. Sweet Baby Inc. aims to enhance storytelling in video games while promoting diversity and inclusion within the industry. The studio has faced harassment across various platforms, including Twitter and Steam, where users have targeted the company's inclusion initiatives by posting lists of games it has contributed to. Several developers who have collaborated with Sweet Baby Inc. have publicly defended the company, including those involved in high-profile projects, such as Alan Wake 2, which has received critical acclaim and recognition in numerous Game of the Year awards. The first stage of Cities, Skylines 2's much-anticipated in-game modding support, is set to launch on March 25th, alongside the release of its first post-launch asset pack, named Beach Properties. Colossal Order, the developer behind the City Builder sequel, faced challenges following its October 2023 launch on PC via Steam, with player sentiment shifting from a mixed Steam user review rating to mostly negative for recent reviews. Interestingly, the original Cities, Skylines game currently boasts more players than its sequel. Last month, Colossal Order CEO Mariina Halikainen openly acknowledged that the lack of modding support was the studio's biggest regret. Now, nearly 6 months after the game's launch, Cities: Skylines 2 is introducing its first stage of mod support, enabling players to build, share, and play with mods through a streamlined in-game interface. Starting March 25th, players can access mods through the Cities: Skylines 2 modding beta. Upon release, an in-game editor will be available, allowing players to create or implement map or code mods. Leveraging the Paradox Mods platform, seamlessly integrated into the Cities: Skylines 2 experience, users can play locally and share their creations globally. The platform facilitates mod discovery and curation, enabling players to organize preferred mods into one-click playsets, among other features. Asset modding tools and additional options are slated for release later this year. Mariina Halikainen expressed excitement about the transformative potential of the modding beta, emphasizing that player creativity and feedback are essential to the game's community. The developer looks forward to seeing how players utilize these tools and collaborates with them to realize their city-building aspirations. In addition to the modding support, the Beach Properties DLC will be available for purchase on PC for $9.99. It can also be obtained as part of the Cities: Skylines, Two Waterfronts Expansion Pass or Ultimate Edition. Alongside Beach Properties, a new in-game radio station called the Deluxe Relax Station will debut on March 25th, featuring a new host and a full hour of fresh music. The Deluxe Relax Station will be priced at $4.99 or included in the Waterfront's Expansion Pass or Ultimate Edition. That wraps up today's episode of Morning Martlet, where we ventured through the twists and turns of the gaming industry. And until next time, keep playing, keep dreaming, and keep listening to Morning Martlet.